And now, beautiful people going fast on fire. Welcome to the True Fiction Podcast, Kino Club Edition.
Welcome to True Fiction's Kino Club, where we discuss movies old and new. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 2024 dystopian action black comedy, Boy Kills World. It's directed by Moritz Moore in his feature directorial debut, from a screenplay by Tyler Burton Smith and Aaron Remmers, based on a story by Remmers and Moore. The film stars Bill Skarsgård, Jessica Roth, Michelle Dockery, Famke Janssen, Charlton Copley, Brett Gelman, Isaiah Mustafa, and Andrew Koji. Its plot revolves around a campaign of vengeance enacted by a martial artist expert, rendered deaf-mute by an attack that killed his entire family, whose thoughts are presented by an inner voice derived from his childhood video game provided by H. John Benjamin. But before we get started, Kino Club roll call. I'm Pat.
I'm Norbert.
I'm Marshall.
All right. So Marshall and I watched this in the unbelievably nice Imagine Theater in Fishers, Indiana, which is always a joy to see a movie in. What did we feel we liked about Boy Kills World?
I thought the idea of having the voice of a video game as his narrative was a very clever way to do the deaf and mute part. There was a lot of twists and turns on the plot. I think there's a lot that I enjoyed about this movie, including the action scenes, although there's a couple bones I have with that, but the plot twist was pretty good and the setup was very easy to digest for me. And I liked the humor.
I really enjoyed this movie. What I really liked about it were the action sequences. I enjoyed the humor. I thought there were a lot of really clever parts. Norbert talked about his inner dialogue being the video game voice because he's deaf and mute. And I thought that was hilarious. And I like H. John Benjamin,
right,
the guy who did the voice. I thought he did a great job. And it's good to see him get work again. I haven't seen him in it. And it might just be I haven't watched anything he's been in recently. But he was pretty funny. I thought he did a good job. And then I think the overall story was pretty good, too.
Yeah, H. John Benjamin, a lot of people already know him from either watching Archer from the Adult Swim or watching Bob's Burgers, because he voices Bob in Bob's Burgers. His voice acting is phenomenal. He's just a funny guy. And that really went pretty far, I thought, for this movie. I really liked the action. The person I didn't mention in that opening, this mysterious shaman, the guy that plays the mysterious shaman, Yayan Ruyan, is an amazing martial artist. If you've ever seen The Raid, he's in both The Raid 1 and The Raid 2, and he's by far one of my favorite characters. So to see this guy getting work, it was great. He's just amazing. They use a lot of, I think it would call flying cameras that would fly through. They really recorded the action very well. No shaky cam, which was nice, but the camera was always seemed to be moving. You always felt like the action was flying out of the screen. It really felt like a live action comic book to me. And I love that about it. But the other thing I loved about it, it was ridiculously stupid. And I'm going to tell you right now that you just have to go with it, because this movie it sets you up where you feel like there's not a lot of story, and then you find out there is a lot of story. So I won't go any further than that. I don't want to do any spoilers on any of that, but I think that if you go see this film, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. But don't go see this film unless you like a lot of blood and fast action, because it's nonstop. A lot of great martial arts, lots of people getting hurt bad, lots of blood flying over here and there. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I loved it. I loved the way that the action was. It really was hyper real. It didn't almost feel real. Like I said, it felt almost like a live action comic book.
Or video game.
Yeah, because you got boss fights and the smaller boss fights. It was really well put together. I thought the script was super tight. I love the interaction with Bill Skarsgård, the boy, with everybody that could speak. He couldn't, and he would read lips. If he misunderstood them or didn't understand them all, he would picture what he thought they were saying, and it's just hysterical.
Yeah, the when he was talking to that one guy that was on the team.
Yeah,
I thought that was hilarious because he was trying to understand. He couldn't understand him at all.
He couldn't understand a word he said. And that was hysterical. They did such a good job with that whole thing. There are some really just over the top, just crazy stuff that you just have to go with. There is an amazing, crazy fight between the boy and his team and a bunch of breakfast cereal characters. So that was just nutso. Yeah. And I loved it.
That, and I love the earlier on where he has the fight with the crazy guy.
Oh, yeah. And they named that guy. He's like, yeah. Steve or something. Hardly anybody gets a name in this movie, but that guy did. That was funny.
But the video game part of it, he was doing like player one. The guy wouldn't die.
Yeah, that was great. The dialogue was really good of H. John Benjamin. What was going on in Skarsgård's head?
There's some deeper things happening in the movie that I appreciated where... You know, the government, it was in partnership with corporations in order to maintain power and funding and that sort of thing. And it was over the top, as you were saying, it's tough to get breakfast companies to sponsor the call. What do they call it?
The calling. Yeah.
Yes. But they managed to do it. And it was just like, yeah, you could see it. It's not ripped from the headlines, but you could see the undercurrent of how it was plausible in, even though it's exaggerated. And that's what I enjoyed about this. It amped things up and it took things to a preposterous level. But the underlying truth of the situation, I do think, is human emotions, the human conflicts, those familiar sort of tensions. I think that was very... It was true. What it built, it was exaggerating truth in a very hyper way. And I thought that's part of what resonated with me.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't ever caught that, but you're absolutely right.
I noticed this film's almost, there's like an emerging genre of films where it's like they're video game adjacent, where it's like heavily influenced by video games, but it's not based on or around a video game. I find that kind of interesting that, I don't know. I think it's like just a pop culture thing, but I would really consider this movie one of those movies where it had strong video game influences, wasn't directly tied to any one video game.
I think it had a little bit of a Scott Pilgrim vibe to it.
I thought that too.
Here's what I thought was really successful about it. How they brought in different influences. You could almost feel a manga. You can almost feel a video game, Scott Pilgrim for another movie. You could feel martial arts films, the Hunger Games. There's a whole wide range of things that they took and distilled into its own thing. That's what I like. I like when you take something. The other thing that I really liked about this film was that it created the universe in which when things started happening, you bought it because they created a universe with its own rules.
I would say that this had a Korean revenge film feel to it also, which is a genre of itself. And I started thinking about that after I identified that. And I would almost say this is the American spiritual successor to Old Boy. And there's a lot of parallels. And then there's a scene that I noticed too, that if it's not a homage to Old Boy, it's highly influenced by, but it's when he's like fighting through the hallway.
Right. I didn't even think about that with the Old Boy reference. Yeah. I was afraid you were going to go a different route with that Old Boy thing. So I'm glad you didn't.
No, but I do think there are a lot of parallels to the movies. So I think it's a fair comparison. This is much better. I won't say much better, but it's I guess it's a better subject matter.
Old Boy's a classic. Be careful there. Don't get anybody mad.
I like Old Boy. I'll go on the record. I like Old Boy. I like the original, and the remake wasn't bad. But
here we go.
I like Old Boy too. I'm not going to get on you about that. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
I will also say that I think Bill Skarsgård did a fantastic job in this role with not talking at all and being very expressive with his face and eyes and body language. And his, you know, his fitness was off the charts. And it looked like he had done the work in terms of being involved with the martial arts, because I didn't feel like he was letting that down because he was on screen a ton. I just thought, when I was watching this, I'm like, yeah, he can really act, because he's not saying anything this whole movie.
It was very interesting, too. As violent as he was, there was an innocence about him. Did you feel that? He really felt like an innocent going through this. I don't think that's easy to do. Of course, he was made into a killer. They did a lot of cool cinematic, little clever things that really made it a fun watch for me anyway.
Do you think that they CG'd the kid? You think they took and like how they do the de-aging things and that sort of stuff? Do you think they took younger pictures of Skarsgård and touched it up so that the kid looked like Skarsgård? Because I thought he looked like a dead ringer. If Benjamin buttoned him,
yeah,
he would look like that kid.
I've seen that kid in other things, and I'm pretty sure that's the way that kid looks. Now, I don't know if they added anything CGI. He really did look like a young Skarsgård. I thought that was very interesting. I was going to say it'd be interesting to find out that he was a Skarsgård, but he's not. I watched the credits. By the way, did you stick around for the final credit scene? There is a scene. I don't know if anybody would want to stick around, but just FYI. There is a after credit scene in this movie if you want to stick around. It's neat. It's neat. It's nothing too big. Here's my biggest fear about this movie. I really enjoyed this movie. And when I'm looking at it, I think, yeah, I'd love to see this again. And that's probably the worst thing I could say. That's probably the worst thing we can do, is to see something else, a sequel to this.
Now, was the brother-in-law from Chappie? Is he that Australian?
Yes,
actor?
Yes. No, Chartel Copley. He's South African. Yeah.
South African.
Yeah. This movie was a...
He was very good in that role.
He's fantastic. I really like him. He was in the... What was the 9? Was that the aliens that in South Africa?
District 9.
District 9. He was in District 9. His accent, I thought for sure he was like South African or something. That accent was just amazing, and I have no clue where it's actually from. But very interestingly, this movie was made by 3 countries, Germany, South Africa, and United States. And I just wonder, Chartel
District 9 or this movie?
Boy Kills World was made in Germany, in South Africa, and United States. And if you watch the credits, there were a lot of South African names in this. I thought that was really cool.
The other performance that I thought was really good, and the motivations of this character I thought made sense, was the brother who was the writer. I thought he was number one. It was a good performance, and his character arc I also liked. And then the other thing I thought was cool about this is little details that I thought they paid attention to. I thought the drug sequences were very imaginative and engaging and clever.
So much of this stuff that they did were just so inventive and fun.
Oh, I just was talking about how inventive the drug sequence.
That's right.
Was.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. I thought so too. Now, the boy's name is Young Boy, was Cameron Crovet. If you look him up on the interwebs, you can take a look at that kid. If you look up Cameron Crovetti, he looks like that kid. He was also in Goodnight Mommy, which is a American version of a Swedish, I think, film that is pretty creepy. That's where I recognize the kid from now that I think about it. But yeah, and he did a great job. So we've talked about what we really liked about that. Is there anything that we didn't care for?
There was a couple things that I have mild criticisms of this film overall. One thing, I thought they did a better job at the end with the climactic action sequence, but I thought there was too many action sequences that was tight. I like you pulling out the camera every once in a while and seeing the characters fight as opposed to being all tight shot after tight shot. Again, in the final fight scene, there was more longer shots where you could see the characters. And of course, they had the shaman was involved with that climactic action. And so I assume they could do that more when he was on there because he's probably the real deal.
No. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a mild criticism this throughout. And another thing was, I don't know how I feel about this in some ways. On one hand, it's cold, but Famke Janssen as that head, she's looking rather Joan Rivers at this point. And it works, but it's sad in the way that it works for this film, the aging tyrant, that I understand the choice, but it's harsh. At least that was when I was watching it, I was like, oof. Are you comfortable with this, Bambi? Do you really need this job this bad? There was a couple points where I thought the boy could have shown a little more compassion, and he didn't. Other than that, I really liked this movie. And it was an hour 50, and I felt like it told a complete story, and it had plenty of breathing room, and I was happy. It was under 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what you get when you get fast action.
Yeah, we need to make all movies like that then.
I think some of the character motivations I had a hard time with. This is going to sound silly because I'm the one who brought it up. I'm not a big fan of the idea of video game adjacent inspired movies. I think it ages a movie sometimes, like it'll age before its time. And so, the story's not as timeless. I think there's a lot of cuts. I think we'll eventually look back on movies like this and go, oh, that was a genre of the time. And I think you do that with a lot of movies, but I think sometimes it gets in the way of the story. Those movies sometimes choose stylization over storytelling. And I think in some areas, and this, for the most part, this movie had a really good balance, I think, but it did lean a little bit toward stylization over storytelling. And so little things like that sometimes irk me. I'm not a big fan of that. I agree. I think Famke Janssen was underused in this role or not. I think she could have had a stronger role for the type of actress that she is. And this will sound funny too. I don't like Brett Gelman. I just don't. I've seen him in interviews and I've heard him talk and I've seen him in other things. And there's something about him that it just really bothers me. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the way he looks or I will say this is the best thing I've ever seen him in. There were parts where I thought, hey, this is better than anything else that I've seen him in. And I was able to step aside from seeing him as Brett Gelman and I really don't know why I don't like him. I just don't. He just comes off very smug to me. Like when I've seen him in interviews and the things that I've seen him choose to be a part of seem very, to me, he's like an aging hipster. We all know how Marshall feels about hipsters.
There we go. Here we go.
And I'm just not a fan of him. You know what? And if I met him someday, he'd seem like an awesome guy. We'd love to have you on the show, Brett, but I don't, and maybe I just haven't seen him in the role where I connect with him. But everything I've seen him in, I don't really care for. And I just, the interviews that I've seen with him, I don't think he brings a lot. But like I did say, this was probably the best thing that I've ever seen him in. Yeah. Overall, I really enjoyed the movie.
And I just want to say, because I know Brett listens a lot. Brett, you definitely can come in and defend yourself. I know that you may be typecast, and that's not your problem. That's Marshall's problem, just to let you know. But why don't you come on the show? We can talk about it. What was the last thing you seen him in? Do you remember?
I think it was like a comedy. I don't even know, but it was like some sort of comedy, like a Tina Fey or who's the girl from Mike and Molly or something like that, or one of those kind of
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy, kind of one of those comedy style movies. I think I seen him as like a small bit, and it just.
I'm going to say the problem isn't him. you're watching these and you're expecting to really like all the characters. No, he's in Stranger Things too. And I think that's great. I really like his shtick. But I do think that he is typecast. It's like with me and Danny McBride. I don't know if he's really like that, but he's like that in every movie I've ever seen him. Every show I've ever seen him, he's a jerk. And so I really don't care for Danny McBride a lot. My favorite role is when he gets shot in Pineapple Express and he's dying at breakfast. It's just funny. Yeah, but that's interesting. I like the guy. So hopefully you and Brett can get along.
I don't even know if it's like a typecast thing. I've just seen him in a couple things. He was on like a couple Adult Swim things, like Tim and Eric. I think he had his own show or something too on there. Huh. And I've just never, I don't know. For the most part, he has one level where it just seems like he's loud. That's the guy that he is for the most part. And I don't feel a lot of depth when I see him act. And then, like I said, this was the best thing that I've seen him do. And I'll say he did have a little more depth than what I've seen before. And I feel bad almost saying that because I really don't. I'm sure he might be a nice guy and stuff. I think that you just have, you know, there's some actors you like better than other actors. You don't really know why, but something about him just rubs me the wrong way. And I don't even know if it's really his, because I've watched interviews of his too, because I thought maybe if I got to know the person that is Brett, I might enjoy his acting better, and it didn't help.
So one question I have, what character did you not get the motivation for? Because I'm trying to think of, I got everybody's motivation. I didn't even like all of them, or some of them I liked or didn't like, but I got their motivation.
I guess maybe not specific characters as much as some of the, you don't really think too hard about the calling. Like, it is a hyperbole of what could happen. Like the idea of I think you'd mentioned, Norbert, like we could see how something like that could develop, or at least the way they portrayed it, we could see how it developed. But if you really think about it, I had trouble understanding maybe some of the motives of how the family worked. It really felt like we were told, oh, there's this family in charge and they rule all these different areas. And we didn't have a lot of backstory to that or why they do what they do to keep power. And then how the calling, it felt like this event was invented to move the narrative. And I think for the most part, I had suspension of disbelief, but it's one of those things where I definitely don't want to poke too much because I think it would fall apart is the questions about it.
Yeah. The family's power structure. I don't know. That would be, you know, like organized crime. You want to figure that becomes the Godfather 3 miniseries or whatever. But I get the culling in the sense that it's a way to keep the populace from trying to get too uppity, because you're constantly, it's a way to instill fear into those, and all rebellions are held by, what was it? The United States, the revolutionary people was, I'm wanting to say 15%, something very low was the actual people that made it happen.
Wow.
The vast majority was not. And so you use that sort of system in order to keep those people that think they're going to rise up. You instill fear in all those people that are thinking, I'm really sick of these Vanderkoys. We're going to do something about this. The calling is a reminder, yearly reminder, or whatever, however often it is. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. I get that part. I don't know how they rose to power.
But I think with the structure of it, like the idea that it's celebrated and people are getting entertainment from it, but at the same time, it's the same tool. I get it.
In the Colosseum, the Roman Colosseums. Yeah. That's what they did. They took the rabble rousers and they put them in the arena with the lions and stuff, and people were cheering. And
They also gave them aqueducts and sewers and stuff and roads. It was a little bit different than that. I don't know. I don't know if I'm agreeing with Marshall, probably, which is scary, but I think part of what was for me was that these people are, there was nothing that ever showed them being good to these people, yet people were in the studio loving it. And I didn't see why that didn't make a lot of sense. Now, I will be honest with you. This isn't a movie I really worry about things like that. I was having way too much fun. I thought when they're taking out people and throwing candy, go here, have some candy. Forget about the person I just killed. That's really hysterical. I mean, that is some really good dark comedy there. But no, I don't know if we really, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, Marshall, but I'm just saying for me, it really wasn't anything I wasn't going to worry too much about because it didn't make any sense, to be honest with you, that the people, because they were in front of that small crowd, ended up killing the whole group. And how do you like people like that? But that was just the shallowness of those people too, that I thought that was showing. Yeah, I agree.
But I think like, I'm not watching going, hey, that doesn't make sense. Like I definitely am watching it for the action scenes and things like that. But if we really wanted to be nitpicky about it, how hard would it? I think you made a good point with at least the Roman Empire. They gave aqueducts and roads. Like there was something there. There was a reason for the structure. I don't know if we ever got an explanation. How did this come about? How did they come to power? Or why did they allow them to be in power? And I think it was one noted with the, like, they would just beat up the village and be like, here's what's going on, and you're going to accept it. As the viewer, we didn't really get any context as to why. And I think it's something that it wouldn't have been hard to throw in a scene or just a little bit of narrative to explain why it got this way or why people allowed this or this power structure.
In a movie like this, there's a lot of things that I will just throw out the window. I won't even care if certain things happen. I don't care because I'm having such a good time. And that's how this movie was. I don't know if there's anything I didn't like, but there are some things I questioned. The one thing that was a little bit different for me was the fight music, the music when they were fighting. I would have thought maybe some, and probably if I really thought about it, this music was probably better, but I would expect more of a heavy metal or maybe even like a symphony thing going on. And no, that wasn't it. It was like, one was a South African pop song. And then one was almost sounded like a country, almost like a country banjo type thing, which was really odd, I thought. So like I said, I'm not going to say that I didn't like it. I'm just going to say that I don't know if it worked as well as it could, but it piqued my interest. But I really didn't know what to actually think about that. It was a little bit different because the music and the fighting to me didn't go hand in hand. The big boss fights at the end, there was some symphonic background music, which was really cool.
There was one other thing I didn't care for was the cast of the head of security. I didn't think that character was on one hand too severe and then on another hand not intimidating enough or not physically imposing enough.
I can see that. I do notice that there were shots where they tried to make that person seem more muscular and more agile. But I can see what you're saying. Having said that, I will also say there's some really cool action scenes with that person.
Well, I just thought that it made a disjointedness from lower end to the higher end, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And people, after you watch the movie, it just felt like that it was a little too severe on one hand and not physically imposing enough on the other. But that was just me. Because you got, what's his name? Skarsgård, who's 6'6" or whatever he is, which makes it tough to make somebody match up
like
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you one thing that I think this movie could have used more of, that was Butterfly Ninja. That was just the best to me. I thought that was hilarious. And I wish there was more stuff like that in there because I thought it was fun. I know why there wasn't, because they were a tight 111 and they were going to keep it that way. No, but I also think that's one thing that we really haven't talked about. Skarsgård was nuts. He was actually, he'd been driven crazy because of with drugs and all kinds of different things.
That was a brainwashing. That was like brainwashing.
Oh, yeah, it was. And he never knew what, if he was seeing something, if it was real or not. And that says a lot in that land where he lived, where they're fighting with breakfast cereals. So I thought that was.
And I'll say, after watching him in this movie, I hope he does more action flicks.
Are the Crow's coming out very soon.
And he's going to be the lead character?
He is the Crow, yeah. And it's more like the actual books. A lot of us love the Brandon Lee Crow, which I love that. It's a different take on it, which I'd like to see it. But he looks, put makeup on the boy, and he looks like the Crow in the Crow movie. So it's going to be interesting.
Awesome.
We are coming up to a great time, folks. And I'm not talking about the end of the show. I'm talking about summer blockbusters. So hopefully we are going to see some movies for you guys and talk about that. I'm really looking forward to a lot of movies coming out soon. Now, what are our final thoughts on this? Do we like it? Should people go see this? What do we have to say about that?
If you like action movies and you like any of the genres that we talked about during this review, I think you watch it. I think you can do far worse. Far worse. This is one of the better movies I've seen so far in the theaters this year.
Yeah, I think for just a movie, it was refreshing to see something that was an original idea in the theaters that I know it was based on a short film, but it's something that hasn't already, I don't think, has permeated pop culture like a lot of other things that we see in the theaters. And I think it was a fun, original action movie.
So I went there with somebody that I wasn't sure if they would like it, and they really did like it. So I thought that was fun. And I thought it was just a good time in the theater. Forget about Oppenheimer or any of these like slow moving crap films like that. I laughed through this thing out loud. It's one of these movies that when I think about certain parts of it, I'd laugh again. In my head, I'm laughing at things because they're so funny. The whole subject matter was super original. How the story was handled. I think one thing that helped this story, I won't go on. This will be short. I think one thing that really helped this movie is a simple plot. The plot was very simple, but the way that they told the story and the way that it played out, and they took every chance to make it funny or action packed. And I thought they did a really good job. I would highly recommend this movie. So are we good?
We good.
We good. All right. Folks, there you have it. It's another episode of True Fiction Kino's Club in the books. Thanks for joining us for another round of movie madness. And this was definitely madness in this movie. And for sharing your love for cinema. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform and stay tuned for next week's episode. Until then, keep your eyes and ears open for truth in fiction.
Night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the True Fiction Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please visit us at Facebook. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. Until next time, stay true and stay creative.
Hey, you're too late. Somewhere else, catch your eye somewhere else.